You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from AskAnything-app.com. Managing an unfixable CVE is not really a question about how to make a scanner quiet. It is a question about whether an organization can preserve the finding, understand what it means in a specific deployment, choose a response that the governing requirement actually permits, and keep that decision alive as the system and the threat change. The first point to clear away is the idea that every vulnerability exception naturally lasts 90 days. It does not. 90 days can be an internal review cadence, but the real interval comes from the contract, law, framework, authorization boundary, assessor interpretation, and risk policy that apply to the system. Some obligations are much shorter. PCI DSS, for example, calls for critical security patches within 1 month of release. CISA's known exploited vulnerabilities catalog gives covered federal agencies specific due dates. An internal acceptance memo cannot override either kind of obligation. The second misconception is that reachability is a single yes or no property. A source call graph, the contents of a final build, runtime traces, an effective configuration, network exposure, identity policy, and a supplier's VEX statement all answer different questions. A tool may find a call path and give strong evidence for prioritization. If it finds no path, that is weaker evidence. Dynamic dispatch, reflection, plugins, generated code, callbacks, rare inputs, and incomplete build context can all create blind spots. That is why SNYK uses the phrase no path found rather than claiming mathematical unreachability. Gripe plays a different role. It matches packages and versions to vulnerability records and can apply VEX statements, but it does not independently prove an application call path. So begin with the raw finding. Preserve the scanner and database versions, scan time, advisory identifiers, package identity, dependency path, artifact digest, affected assets, owners, exposure, severity, fixed state, and prior dispositions. For a container, bind the record to an immutable image digest, not only immutable tag. The objective is to make the original observation reproducible even after advisories, packages, and scanner databases change. Next, identify the exact obligation. Record the control or contract citation, the system boundary, the required remediation interval, the allowed alternatives, the approval roles, and the evidence and retention rules. This step matters because a technically persuasive reachability report may still be irrelevant when the controlling requirement demands patching, removal, or a formally assessed compensating control. Then validate identity and applicability. Is the component actually in the deployable artifact? Is the scanner using the right ecosystem and version semantics? Did a Linux distributor backport a fix without adopting the upstream version? Is the match only a source archive, cache, test fixture, or build stage dependency? Does the advisory require a platform, feature, compiler option, or configuration that is absent? If the match is wrong, the correct disposition is false positive. If the component match is right but the affected code or required condition is absent, the conclusion may be not affected. Neither state should be mislabeled as accepted risk. Once the identity is sound, model the vulnerability's mechanics. Start with the affected function, parser, protocol, endpoint, or feature. Add attacker prerequisites, input source, authentication state, privileges, platform conditions, and possible confidentiality, integrity, availability, safety, or tenant consequences. Then map those conditions onto the deployment. Can untrusted input cross the relevant boundary? Can the required principle pass the identity controls? Is the feature enabled in the effective runtime configuration? Is there a code or data path to the vulnerable function? If exploitation succeeds, what do the sandbox, file system, capabilities, network policy, and application identity allow next? This attack path narrative should be testable. A diagram by itself is not enough. Each link should point to a configuration export, code location, trace, policy result, or authoritative advisory. Internal only is not proof of safety. A compromised workload, uploaded file, message queue, management plane, partner path, or malicious insider can change the route. Use layered reachability evidence. Static analysis can reveal a positive call path, while a negative result must carry its limitations. Build analysis should prove whether vulnerable material was resolved, compiled, linked, copied, and left in the final artifact. Runtime observation can show what executed under the observed workloads, but not what every adversarial input could execute. Network and identity tests should examine the deployed routes and principles. Configuration analysis should capture effective settings, including environment variables, startup arguments, overlays, and tenant differences. Keep reachability separate from impact. A reachable function inside a strong sandbox may have limited consequences. A modest package finding in a privileged, internet-facing control plane may deserve urgent action. Exploitability, exposure, threat intelligence, asset value, and impact should remain visible as distinct inputs. EPSS can help prioritize investigation by estimating near-term exploitation activity, but it does not know the local environment, compensating controls, or business impact. Confirmed exploitation evidence can supersede that estimate. When the evidence supports a product-specific conclusion, VEX can carry it in machine-readable form. Scope the statement to the exact product, version, artifact, and vulnerability. A not affected statement needs a real justification. Perhaps vulnerable code is absent, cannot execute, cannot be controlled by an attacker, or an inline mitigation prevents exploitation. If the truth is that the product is affected but controls reduce the risk, keep it visible as affected and mitigated or accepted. VEX distributes a disposition. It does not prove the assertion by itself. Before accepting residual risk, prefer structural reduction. Remove a package, feature, endpoint, service, or obsolete asset when possible. In containers, separate build and runtime stages, copy only required runtime artifacts, avoid unnecessary tools and services, rebuild from supported inputs, and scan the final image by digest. Minimal or distroless images can remove whole classes of exposure, but they also change diagnostics, forensics, libraries, certificates, time zones, and operational assumptions. Test startup, TLS, DNS, health checks, signal handling, observability, crash behavior, and incident response. A smaller image is not automatically a safer application. If the vulnerability remains, design compensating controls against the actual exploit chain. Block the route that reaches the endpoint. Restrict untrusted files before the parser. Disable and lock the affected feature. Reduce the identities that can satisfy the prerequisite. Segment lateral movement. Limit code execution consequences with non-root operation, a read-only file system, mandatory access controls, and capability removal. Deny unnecessary egress. Then test the expected block and the bypass cases, retain the effective configuration, monitor drift, and assign operational ownership. A control name in an exception is not evidence that the control works. The risk record should let another reviewer reproduce the decision. It needs immutable scope, validation, authoritative advisory evidence, threat and attack path analysis, the chosen response, alternatives considered, control tests, inherent and residual risk, uncertainty, remediation milestones, funding and ownership, authorized approval, review dates, event triggers, and closure evidence. Generate the scanner exception from that record at the end. Do not let the scanner exception become the record. Review the decision both on a calendar and when events occur. Reopen it when a patch or supported release appears, the component, code, configuration, network zone, or data use changes, the vulnerability enters KEV, exploit intelligence changes, EPSS moves materially, a control drifts or fails, the governing framework or risk tolerance changes, or the exception expires. Preserve each review as a new version. Repeated renewals are a signal about unsupported platforms, weak ownership, or an unfunded exit plan. The strongest evidence is direct remediation or removal in the deployed artifact. Next comes authoritative, product-specific supplier evidence. Then reproducible technical evidence, followed by repeated control effectiveness evidence. Reasoned analysis can still be valid when direct proof is impossible, but uncertainty should raise residual risk and shorten the review cadence. Bare assertions such as not used, internal only, or the WAF protects it should not support suppression. At scale, the answer is a shared operating model. Policy defines the disposition taxonomy, evidence rules, approval matrix, duration, review triggers, and unfiltered audit view. The data layer joins advisory aliases, package identifiers, SBOM versions, artifact digests, source commits, deployments, controls, and risk records. Automation generates and scans the final artifact, enriches findings with threat and asset context, applies only current approved VEX, routes the decision, reevaluates it on change, revokes expired statements, and retains both raw and dispositioned results. Measure outcomes that reward risk reduction, affected findings by asset criticality, KEV exposure, time from fix availability to verified deployment, exception age and renewals, unsupported components, immutable artifact coverage, control test results, drift, revalidation after change, components removed, and attack paths closed. A count of zero critical findings after suppression can improve while visibility gets worse. The mature position is neither to patch every scanner match without context nor to suppress anything that appears unreachable. It is to maintain a trustworthy chain, finding, validated identity, affected conditions, deployment context, exploitability, threat, impact, response, tested residual risk, accountable approval, continuous review, and verified closure. That chain turns an unfixable CVE from a permanent blind spot into a governed, visible, and revisitable decision.